are now about to witness the strength of geek knowledge.
I geek out about TV shows. I geek out about music. Star Wars, of course. Fantasy stuff, Lord of the Rings. Star Wars, of course. God geek.
The concept of this episode of the God Geeks podcast, where we love that theology is reality, we're going to talk about the Star Wars canon, and the biblical canon. In other words, how did we get what counts in the Star Wars story?
Right.
What do they keep? What do they say? Because there's, if you don't know, there's obviously the films.
The films. There's, and then an extended universe.
An extended universe. There's books. There have been
books,
there
comics,
have been
games,
Star Wars books for years.
Made for TV movies.
That have nothing to do with the characters. Or
no,
maybe
nothing.
They do. Some of them.
Oh, some of them do, yeah.
To do with the characters of the actual George Lucas films. And here's the thing, we wanted to also say, well, so how did we get the Star Wars, what counts the canon, and how do we get the Bible? Like, how did we talk about the canon of the Bible? Here's what I thought would be an interesting curveball to throw at you first.
Okay.
And you may know the answer to this.
All right.
Actually didn't know the answer to this until someone taught it to me.
Okay.
The word canon.
Yeah, I think I learned this one today, actually.
Okay, well, so tell me, what did you learn that the word canon means?
I think it's Greek.
Okay.
Measuring stick, measuring rod.
Yeah.
So how you measure something, like
it's
the canon.
Yeah, so it's the standard.
The standard, yeah.
Yeah, it's the measuring rod for, in the case of Star Wars, in the case of the Star Wars canon.
In Star Wars canon,
what
it's all
makes,
about...
What makes it in? That's the measuring rod for what is... authentic, I guess.
Yep.
The real story. And in the Bible, it's what is authentic Christianity.
Okay.
So what is it, what is it that is about these letters and these books that are included in the Bible that other books don't have? So that's what canon means, and that's what we're going to talk about. And I'm going to throw it to my main geek man here, James, to sort of talk about Star Wars canon.
I'm no absolute
And neither one of
expert.
Us is an expert on either one of these subjects.
No.
And that's why
we're learning.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's easy to get in a gunfight when you have no ammunition. We can talk about stuff we don't know anything about, and
exactly.
You'll listen. So here's James talking about the Star Wars canon.
Just like I think theology nerds, is it a term? Theology nerds, theologian,
yeah,
theologian
geeks.
Nerd, God geek. Yeah, there we go. I mean, do you ever debate with people about biblical stuff and try to figure out who's right? Does that happen?
I think it does. I think it does. I think it can happen in a healthy way.
In a healthy way,
and then
yeah.
it can also, and a lot of times the healthy way is when you're debating with someone who's of the same denomination as you know you're going to end up on the same side.
Well, probably because you have a mutual understanding on the measuring stick, the canon.
Right.
Would that be a fair assessment?
Okay.
Okay. So originally it was just the three Star Wars films, and people could debate those all they wanted because all you had to really talk about was the three Star Wars films. If it wasn't in there, then it's not Star Wars truth. You know what I mean? So in order to debate with someone or not even just debate, just, you know, theorize, you go back to the movie and talk about facts in the movie. Those are your concrete details. Well, that all kind of changed when Lucasfilm started allowing the extended universe, what they called it, expanded universe. And it kind of exploded after the Zahn trilogy. And that's not Zahn, like some weird alien. That's the last name of the author. I think it's Timothy Zahn, something like that. So there actually was a trilogy of sequels to Star Wars and Empire and Return of the Jedi, starring Luke Skywalker and Han Solo and Leia. All of them are in it. Chewbacca, everyone's in it. The first one, I believe, is called Heir to the Empire.
And they're books.
They're books, and they're really good. And that's how I first jumped into the extended universe. And when I did that, I mean, there were hundreds of books. When I finally said, all right, I'll give it a try, you know. Hundreds of books, if not more.
And I know since, you know, it's kind of like old Westerns. There's a setting in which to tell a story, and you're saying, yeah.
People just ran with
the
it.
Star Wars universe.
And, oh yeah. Every type of story you can think of.
And, George Lucas was getting, you know,
yeah, he's going to cut,
you cut off every one of his books.
Bit of it.
So,
yeah.
Write
so
as many as you want. And let's make toys to the
yeah,
characters.
Yeah, let's make toys to go with it. So what happened was you had new video games, you had new comic books. There's some great comics out there. I really enjoy the Star Wars Legacy series, which before it was announced ever, Force Awakens or any of that, these are a series of graphic novels that happened 120 years after Return of the Jedi. So this is like Luke Skywalker's grandson or great-grandson, and they're really, really good. I really enjoyed them. I always thought, man, if they ever make new Star Wars movies, they should really make these ones. These would be awesome. So, I mean, they go off in all kinds of directions. And what happened was it started to get really convoluted. You had one story contradict another story. You had a character die here, but then die somewhere else also.
Right.
Or, you know, Boba Fett's running around. I thought he died in the Sarlacc pit. So they had to come up with answers to all these questions, like, how is this possible? Or, you know, what's the right answer when someone is debating about Star Wars characters in the expanded universe? And there's a really great Wired article from 2008, Wired magazine, which talks about how Star Wars decided to develop a canon, a system for their canon. And one man was in charge of it. I think his first name's Lee. I don't remember his last name, but he was like the keeper of the canon. I think they called him the keeper of the holocrons. In the Star Wars universe, a holocron is like a, you can store almost like someone's intelligence within a cube. So you can ask. So imagine if Yoda had downloaded his brain into a cube. You could still talk to Yoda. Or Yoda might have all kinds of answers to questions in the holocron.
Right.
So the keeper of the holocron. I sound so nerdy right now. I love it.
It's yeah, we've gone off the deep end of geeky.
So maybe I did know more than I thought about this.
It's getting better and better. Keep talking.
The keeper of the holocron decided what was canon and what wasn't. Of course, the films, the original trilogy, is like the tier one canon. They came up with like different tiers for the canon. I forget all the terms for it, but they decided, okay, this is, they said the movies are the infallible
right.
canon. They're like, okay, if something contradicts what happens in the movie, then the movie trumps it. Okay,
right.
So they're the tier one. So the movies, the prequels, etc. And then what they came up with was kind of like a tier two system. Well, what after that is the next standard for what happens in the Star Wars universe. And they chose certain things, like the Timothy Zahn books. That would be like level two canon. And what was cool was when Zahn was writing that trilogy, Lucas actually read them, and so did the other people reading them. And they took a lot from that trilogy and used it in the prequel. So Coruscant, I think even the term Sith came from that.
Is that
possibly.
Right?
I think so. Because Sith, I don't remember Sith being in the original trilogy.
I do not remember that either.
Yeah. So there, and neither was Coruscant or any of the same. So a lot of the expanded universe ended up influencing the prequels, which then became, and this gets even more, you know, confusing, they became canon over the things that influenced
inspired them. Yeah.
So, and then there would be lower level things, and then there's stuff that they would completely throw out. There's no truth to it, like the Star Wars Holiday Special, if you've ever heard of it or seen it. That is not canon in any way, shape, or form. They act like they never created it. It never existed. It has no truth to it, to them. Which is really funny, because I was watching, you sent me a lecture on the biblical canon, and he was talking about different, like, when they were debating these things, different terms they used for different things. Within the Star Wars universe, there's like apocryphal things, things that while they have some merit to them and some historicity, or if that's the right word, they're not infallible. They're not the end all truth. They're great to get ideas from or answer some questions about history. So it's amazing how the Star Wars universe, they realized the need for continuity and, a lack of contradiction amongst things, things like that. Now,
a fixed narrative.
A fixed narrative. That was very important. Right. Now, and then, okay, here comes Disney.
And buys Lucasfilm. And all the rights to everything.
The rights
that's,
to
all
everything.
The books, everything.
Books, movies, comics.
Cartoons.
Cartoons, yep.
Star Wars Rebels, Clone Wars.
Clone Wars, yeah. The Ewok made-for-TV movies
and
in the
80s. And now we're going to go write a new story.
New story.
To continue Return of the Jedi.
Right.
Which all of these hundreds of books have already done.
And how do you write a new story that works within all the things that people believe to be truth in the Star Wars universe? So what they had to do was rewrite the canon, change it all. And I don't know how Lee felt about this.
Well, you know,
I think he's, and they have a new a committee
like
now.
Like his life work.
His life work. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
I'm the keeper of the Holocron, not Disney. How dare you? So there's a
he's in a bar somewhere. I'm sorry.
So I think he might be part of this new collective that is now the new. They have a story group, if you will, with Kathleen Kennedy. She's the producer or the the executive producer. Now she's the head of Lucasfilm.
Yeah.
And they are overseeing the new canon. And now anything that's
is this the way they've solved it? Let me ask you this.
Okay.
Because this is a You're gonna show your Yoda here. The way that I understand that they've solved the problem is to say that the prequels, obviously the originals, and whatever new movies, and the Clone Wars and Star Wars Rebels, are now the new canon.
Yes.
And everything else is accepted under the label of Star Wars Legends.
Star Wars Legends.
So, in other words, it's a genius move if this is what they're doing, and you can confirm this or correct it. It's almost like now all those other stories are stories like C-3PO would tell to the Ewoks.
Exactly.
Like, with sound effects and everything. Like, this is a legend
stories
of,
in the
of
universe.
What
could
have
happened
or will happen.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, is that... That's basically,
they didn't go the full Marvel DC route where they created parallel universes or anything like that, you know, to make everybody happy. We've got a million different Marvel universes and you have to keep track of each one.
And forget make everybody happy, then make the most money.
Make
you can
the
just
most
keep,
money.
You can just keep, selling.
Well, that's how you make the most money and make everybody happy. So that's what they're doing. And it's a genius move.
It really allows
for them to tell the story they want to tell now. Because Force Awakens, in no way, shape, or form, conforms to the old canon. And yet, I'm happy about that.
Right.
Yeah.
The old canon, but obviously, I mean, it's right in line with the old films.
Right, exactly.
But
it's more in line with the old tier canon system. Yeah.
Which is gone now.
Yeah. Which I'm one of these nerds. All these debates that we've had on message boards for all these years are now meaningless.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you think Lee was depressed? What about the guy that has been in his underwear typing on the message board?
Exactly.
For,
you talking about me again? So that got us thinking a lot about, well, then the biblical canon.
Well, here's
how did that
here's develop? What's fascinating about a clear difference between the two, because we started out by saying, what is the meaning of canon, and like you accurately put, it's measuring rod, it's standard. Yeah. And so simply what they've done with the Star Wars universe, which is completely their prerogative to
do. Yeah, it's a Star Wars universe.
they've just changed the measuring rod.
They've completely changed
They just changed, you
completely.
Know, it's like you move the goalpost.
Yeah.
You know, we can't get there from here. Well, we'll just move the end zone closer. and now you're there.
There you go.
You know?
Let's just teleport there.
That's actually, so that would be, and here, let me say, preface this, like you did with talking about the Star Wars canon. I'm by no means an expert on this, and I would love to. That is the biblical canon, nor the Star Wars canon, but and I would actually love to have like a Dr. Jeffrey Kloa or Gibbs or one of the professors at Concordia Seminary or one of the places on the show at one point and to talk about this. I think it'd be fascinating.
An actual expert.
Yeah, an actual expert. But I know enough to be dangerous. and it's interesting because I think you have to think about the same way that you think about the concept of this show, which is there's physical human history, but that can't be separated with how God operated in history.
Yeah.
All right. So when we talk about how did we arrive with the Bible that we have now, what in what ways did the canon come together? You cannot forget the idea or the reality that God has brought us this book. Now,
through history.
Yes, absolutely.
It didn't drop out of the sky. And
no, through history and through people, and mm-hmm. and it isn't just people, but it's God working through people. So that may kind of confuse the issue, but to simply talk about sort of the human documented history, if you get your ideas from the History Channel or a lot of modern scholars,
I try not to do that anymore.
You know, if you get your theology there,
it's written by aliens.
You've gone to the wrong place, yeah. Because there's no real effort to reveal what the actual standard is. And here's what the rule is, and it's very simple: the Christian Bible is filled with writings that Christ is at the center at. Christ,
every single one.
Yeah, the Christ, the unique Son of God, born of a virgin, his life, his teaching, his death on a cross, his resurrection from the dead, physical resurrection from the dead. Very important, because there's a lot of Gnostic quote-unquote gospels that came out
right.
150, 200 years after the real first wave of Christianity. It's a false teaching about what, trying to sort of steal away Christian converts into
right.
Gnosticism.
And Gnostic means hidden knowledge? Is that what that means?
Yes, and without getting into Gnosticism, okay. and we can, for certainly,
another time.
Especially when we talk about, when we have our Matrix episode.
Okay, there we go. Oh, gosh,
when we talk
yeah,
about
let's
the
save
Matrix.
It for then.
Gnosticism in general, and this is, again, you theologians can send me your angry emails. This will be my redneck version explanation of Gnosticism, but essentially it's that there's a secret knowledge that you must gain in order to escape this physical reality, because
okay.
this physical world is bad, is what Gnostics would say.
Okay.
And so Jesus was just a knowledgeable
guru?
Yeah, sort of a person who had the knowledge to escape the physical realm and go to this paradise realm, and we need to find that same knowledge. And so they by nature deny physical resurrection,
which would be not measuring up.
It would not measure
right.
up at all to
okay.
What Christians believed and taught and were told. Now, you gotta kind of back up further and go, Christianity is really just the fulfillment of Judaism, right?
Right.
So the Old Testament, this is not a cop-out to say this, but the Old Testament is kind of a given. What's going to be in the Bible? Well, the Torah,
okay.
you know, all the prophets from Judaism,
right.
you
right.
know. So the Old Testament is, these are Jewish writings, and Jesus was a Jew, and so were his disciples, and so was the Apostle Paul. So,
and they talked about the Old Testament as scriptures.
So here's
scriptures.
The first thing. for the first 50 years of Christianity, there was no New Testament.
Right. And nor were they trying to make one, I learned it.
No, they were not.
Right.
Well, there was no...
We need to come up with some more books.
Yeah, there was never a concerted effort to let's write scripture, let's write the New Testament.
Which seems so different than maybe some modern...
What was happening in the churches was Jews and it started Gentiles were preaching in synagogues and in houses and in Christian gatherings Old Testament scriptures with Jesus of Nazareth as the fulfillment of all those.
Right.
So Christianity is the Old Testament with Jesus as this Messiah who is predicted throughout the Old Testament.
Blows my mind then that I've been at a lot of quote-unquote sermons in churches that almost refuse to use the Old Testament to talk about the gospel.
Right.
Which blows my mind because the early church, that's what
there was no New Testament, and that's what they were doing. They were proclaiming the good news that this Jesus is the fulfillment of the entire scriptures, and that he is this promised Messiah who has not just come to save Israel, but to save all of mankind, to restore his creation. And so then what you had was a need for these churches who began to grow and expand and have all these different areas, in Egypt and the northern parts and in Jerusalem, obviously, where the church was. They began to pass around writings, which were of apostolic authority. All right? Right. So you had Matthew, right?
Mark.
Matthew, who was a disciple,
right.
Mark, who Mark was a disciple of? Basically, a direct his direct teacher was Peter.
Okay,
that's sort of the what's written and established in Christian tradition.
Okay,
and Luke was Paul's companion. And actually, we learn that in the book of Acts, right around chapter 16.
Right.
All of a sudden, it's no longer in the third person. Luke is in the story because he's told in his gospel all the entire story of Jesus and the resurrection in the book of Acts, all the way up to and everything that happens to Paul and everything. And then all of a sudden, he's in it.
Hey, I'm there.
Yeah,
and then we went here,
and then we went there, right?
Yeah,
So this is Luke. And then John, we have John, and John takes a different approach with his gospel. You have the three what are called synoptic gospels,
right?
Which very much shadow each other or have the same sort of flow to them. And then John takes a different approach. And then what you had was the early churches were gathering and they were reading those out loud because most of the people at the time didn't read for themselves.
Right.
So they were talking about the Old Testament. And then talking about, hey, this is the story of Jesus. You know, it's been 50 years or so. So we need to start writing this stuff down so that these churches know the truth about what's going on. So they were passing around these writings of these four gospels. And this is undisputed by anybody. I mean, we historically know as early as, like 125 that these four gospels, and we have copies. What's crazy is there's actually, copies that old in the Greek of
going back to second century.
Yeah, well, yeah, 125.
Wow.
And that's phenomenal. I mean, that's insane. And the thing about the Bible is no one has scrutinized any book ever more than they have the Bible. I mean, and
not Twilight.
So
not...
you have the four Gospels.
Okay.
Then you have 13 letters from Paul, and these all were being passed around in the churches, and they were contained in... And here's the crazy thing about it. If you think about... So you have in the Old Testament and right around this time of the life of Jesus and at this time, you have everything being written on scrolls.
Mm-hmm.
But right around this time in the Greco-Roman world, with the very beginning... And the church, the Christian church, was at the very beginning of this. Of instead of writing on scrolls, they write on like a codex, which is a bound book for the first time in history.
Actual books.
Codices is what they would call it, but it was just a book.
Yeah.
And what we would know is a book. And now the pages were of different material.
Vellum?
And,
weren't they vellum? Like sheepskin, just the
pounded
really
the
thin?
The parchment were the first ones.
Okay, I mean, parchment.
So, yeah, I mean, yeah. And then so later on they got better. Anyway, the reason that they would use these at the churches is because you could actually travel around with a lot of writings.
Yeah, otherwise, if you're carrying the Old Testament, you got
here's a fascinating
quite a lot of
thing.
Scrolls.
Here's a fascinating thing. In the actual New Testament in Timothy, Paul, in his letter to Timothy at the end, he's saying, hey, bring my cloak. Like, it's a very human thing.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. I love
said
that
all
verse.
This, bring my cloak and my and he says my scroll, and he uses the word my notebook. And it's not only very likely, but it's almost certainly he's talking about his Old Testament writings that that would Timothy bring those to him. And here's the crazy thing, his own writings. Because what you did in the Greco-Roman world was kind of like what you do now. Backing up your hard drive.
Yeah, yeah.
When you wrote a letter, like when Paul wrote Romans, he had it written down, right? He wrote it down. He made copies of it and kept the copies because he was going to give this copy to someone, and it was going to be months before, right?
Right.
It got to where it got.
If it got there,
so
you might need to send another.
You backed up your hard drive. You had copies of your own letters.
Okay.
And you'd have multiple copies. So he wouldn't just send the letter to the letter to the Romans, right?
Yeah.
To the church at Rome.
Yeah.
He would send that letter, but he would make multiple copies of the letter and keep them for himself, right?
Okay.
And then give others copies to other people. Like here's the same thing. So this was the practice in the world because that was the only way. There was no copy machines, right?
No.
You know, so it was like this scroll to codex thing was like the printing press. Like all of a sudden everything changes.
Yeah.
Like all of a sudden there's an internet and information can go faster and be more mobile and all these other things. Well, this phenomenon happened.
It's part of that
happened.
Whole fullness of time.
So
kind of
they it's been established in history. It's a complex explanation.
Okay.
But it's not.
But it goes back before.
But it's not controversial.
Okay.
It's really not. People try to make it controversial because they're attacking the faith.
Right.
And. You know, whatever they want to do, that's fine. The thing is, it's basically indisputable that many early churches had copies of the four Gospels and the letters of Paul, and this was widely accepted as Christian teaching. Okay, so the term that you would use when you're talking about those writings,
the
four Gospels
and Paul's
letters is homilogomena. And that means, basically it means spoken for or affirmed.
Okay.
So no one.
There's no argument over this.
No one in church history to this day would say, that had half a lick of sense or that was a Christian, would say that those weren't Christian, that's not Christianity.
Okay.
So the other writings. Sometimes called the Catholic letters. So you have like First Peter, Second Peter. This is what Revelation, Hebrews even.
Okay.
One of the best, like most powerful books in
meaty stuff.
These would be what would be called antilegomena, and that doesn't mean that anti mean bad. It's
after, right?
It's like a spoken against.
Oh, okay.
So what that means is there was some dispute throughout history over that. Were these, who are the authors for sure?
Okay.
Who are, did all the churches, you know, so some of the churches had these copies of these, not all the churches had copies of these, you know, and Revelation falls into that. It's very difficult to understand. So how do we resolve that? The way that we resolve that is to say, you take all the homilogomena books and the antilogomena books, and you interpret what all of them say with each other. See what I'm saying?
Okay.
You don't read James, which would be antilegomena,
okay,
on its own in isolation from the rest of Scripture, right?
Okay.
Because if you did, you might hear him say some things
in
there.
I think I was doing that the other day.
Okay, so you might hear him. You might hear him saying, "It sounds like he's saying
works.
It's works that save you." Yeah. You know, but you don't read James without reading Paul. Right?
Yeah, they work in symbiosis.
Yeah, and so when you read James through the lens of Paul and the four Gospels and the Old Testament, you realize that James is actually saying something very powerful, and he's not saying that works save you. He's saying that anyone who has faith, that faith will bear fruit.
Right.
So when you see that fruit being bared, you can be assured of their salvation, see? And
right.
So when he's saying, you know, works, when it sounds like he could be saying works save you, he's
right.
not.
Okay.
Okay? Because you have to see it through the rest of what Scripture is. So I know that that's very complex, but here's the thing. It goes back to this. What is the canon? The canon, the measuring rod. The measuring rod is Christ.
Right.
It's the Christian Bible, okay? It's the Christian teachings. It's the teachings of the first Christians. It's the first church. It's the teachings of Christ. And so that is the measuring rod. So anyone who wants to dispute whether the Bible is true or not, that's completely a different subject.
Okay. Different presuppositions.
There really is no disputing what are Christian teachings. Well, it's clear what they were, okay? Because we know what
yeah.
the churches were.
Yeah.
We know
that's
what the writings of the churches
that's
had.
That's not what you're debating.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
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 People want to debate that, but then equate it with debating, is it true?
Yeah. So
yeah. Okay.
Let the people debate whether they think it's true or not, but there is no debate about what Christian teaching is.
What did followers of the way believe?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
So fascinating subject.
Yeah.
I love it. Star Wars canon, biblical canon. Thanks for joining us for this episode of
Thank
God
you.
Geeks.
Thank you.